You are listening to the Developing Up Podcast.
This is the podcast focused on the non-technical side of being a developer.
Good evening, Mike. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, Jake. That was my radio voice. We were talking about radio voices before, but...
It was a good radio voice.
Thank you.
It was good. Ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing?
I'm angry because of that USB cord that we just spent a half an hour troubleshooting.
You had to like restart the laptop and...
Yeah, my experience with audio, Mike, and maybe the listeners can relate, is that when you have an audio problem, it's often a driver problem. Maybe your USB port has... shorted out or deactivated. So if you restart your computer, it tends to fix things 90% of the time. Today it was just a broken USB cord, but narrowing it down to that was probably took a little bit longer than it should.
Some dev skills to narrow down what the actual problem is by trying a bunch of other things first.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's how we go about solving problems. I'm just mad that the USB cord that had one job.
You had one job to do, USB cord.
Didn't do its job. So, but no, I'm not really that angry. I'm getting over it.
All right. You're going to be calm enough for this episode for our listeners?
I think so.
All right.
We'll see. Now, this episode, Mike and I want to follow up on our two previous episodes. And as you might remember, the first one was about interviewing and how interviewing means representing your best self when meeting someone. And then followed by that was networking. And in both of those episodes, we discussed the aspects of being an introvert versus being an extrovert. So this episode, we want to talk about office connections. And if you work in an office, connections are probably something you have, or at least you interact with people on a day-to-day basis. And we want to talk about why they're important, but also how to go about establishing them both as an introvert and as an extrovert. Would you say that's a good outline?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to talk about. It will probably be not as direct introvert versus extrovert, because I think for a lot of what we're going to talk about, it's the same for everybody. There's just some subtle differences. At least I would assume so, having an introvert mindset and you having an extrovert mindset. You know.
Yeah, I think you're right. I thought it was just worth mentioning because these are different aspects of personalities that you encounter in this industry and in what we do every day.
Especially you're going to interact with people who, you know, are on both sides of it on a day-to-day basis when you're part of a dev team or in an office culture. And learning how to make connections with all the different types of people is a very important part of your development career.
Sure is.
So Jake, what is an office connection?
So office connections to me are very simple. They're basically a well-established rapport with the member of your team or with the member of another team. And it doesn't have to just be one. You can have many different office connections.
I would hope you'd have more than one office connection.
Unless you're a two-person outfit.
Well, even though if you're a two-person outfit, you still have clients you're dealing with, and that's a sort of connection as well that you have to be able to make.
Sure is, yeah. Yeah, in outlining this, I didn't consider clients, but...
Always got to be thinking about clients in this industry.
I like it. You're right. So that's what I think an office connection is. But why office connections are important is something that I think we should spend a little bit more time talking about. And the first thing that comes to mind for me is that it allows you to build trust around people. But it's also not like a two-way street. I'm sorry. but it's also not a one-way street, right?
Yeah, trust is a two-way road. I'm going to say road instead of street. That's why one of the importance of having office connections is that you can have that road, that vehicle to build trust with other people on your team or in your company or clients or whatnot.
Right. And another aspect along with trust is that it reinforces people's perception of you. So you want people to look up to you in a positive manner. You want people to trust you, like we said. You also want to establish yourself as someone who is an expert in your subject matter. So if there is something that you can do to reinforce that, then people are going to look to you when they are in a situation where they might need answers.
So you, by building connections, it allows you to be known as the person who can either not even just solve a problem, but can be asked about a problem and provide insights in terms of the development aspect of whatever project you're working on.
And it's not all about just being on top and having everyone think you're great, but it is a good thing to strive for, because one of the beautiful parts of an office connection is, like we were saying, a two-way street or road. You have someone you can lean on, and you are someone that can lean on you.
You have someone you can lean on, and you are someone others can lean on. Is that what you're trying to say?
Mike with the grammar. Love it.
Oh, boy. No one's ever said Mike with the grammar.
But right, you establish a working rapport here, and it's a two-way street. And then what that also opens a door for is a cross-team collaboration. So, for example, if you are working with, as a developer, Mike, if you are working with a user experience designer, you guys can lean on each other. They may come to you with specific questions about the technologies in which you're working, or you may go to them to discuss a potential user flow in a project that you're working on. But what you can also do is uncover differences in your projects and how each project goes from project to project, and try to come up with a better process to deal with some of the bigger pain points.
And like you were saying, Jake, when you build these connections, and you can really lean on people's expertise in their areas, so it you can focus on what you do and you can do it really well instead of having to be like a jack of all trades. So, I mean, it's good to know aspects of other processes like UX or design or strategy that are involved in a development project, but you don't have to know the deep details of that. You can focus on the deep details of development, and then you can rely on the person you know in user experience, or they can rely on you, vice versa, like that two-way road in the development aspect.
That's a really solid point, Mike. And not to get us off track here, but one thing I want to mention is one thing that I have to do often, almost every day, is work on some sort of estimate for a project. Maybe estimates are something we could talk about in the future, because that's definitely a big part of any developer's job, especially as they're kind of climbing the ladder, so to speak.
I will not provide an estimate about when we will talk about estimates, though.
That's fine. But when estimating, it's difficult to have the answer for everything technology-wise. Even if you're provided all the information you need, it's really difficult to have all of the expertise that comes with working with these different technologies. So rather than trying to be that jack of all trades, having those office connections that you can go to and say, hey, I'm working on an estimate for this, and I'm in a part that I can't speak to very well, and I'm wondering if I could pick your brain for a couple minutes and make sure the estimate is accurate.
Yeah, and that works across teams and internally in teams, like just to get a second pair of eyes on, say, a dev estimate that you're working on from someone else from your team. Having that office connection so that you can go to those people easily like that without making it that big of a deal, invaluable in your development career.
All right, so I think that is a pretty good summary, Mike, of all the benefits or the important aspects of establishing an office connection. Why don't we talk about some of the different types of office connections one might seek out as a developer?
Yeah. And one of the first types of office connections we could talk about just from that last piece about why they're important is developer to developer, inner team, inner department development connections.
Right. And whether you're a small team, whether you're a big team, you may not always be working on the same project. You might not always be working on the same technologies, but it helps to have a good working relationship with your peer developers, not only just for you to learn from them and for them to learn from you, but to also be able to speak a common language. And like we were saying, with cross-department improvements, it can also be an inter-department improvement that you may want to collaborate with your team members on, like setting code standards or doing code reviews.
I mean, setting code standards is a big, important one. I think that's a good one to bring up, where if you have these connections, you're comfortable to discuss what a standard should be, what everyone should follow, even like a development workflow, like if you're going to, what sort of code repository you're going to use, branching model. You're right, Jake. If you don't have that office connection set up between the other developers first, it's going to be hard to get everyone to agree in a timely manner about what should be established. But if you have a good connection, you know how to talk with each other already, and you can discuss what is best for your project or your current working situation.
And with the estimating that I was touching on a little earlier, that's where I go to most of the time, is when there's a technology involved that I need to provide an estimate for that I don't know how to speak to. It's really good to know where everyone's expertise is.
So we actually, a story for our listeners, Jake, you and I just did this last week together, actually. I was working on an estimate for a project, needed a quick turnaround, and it involved front-end hours and front-end time. And I don't have the expert understanding of what's needed in the front-end realm to build this project. So I came over to you, and because you know, we have such a great office connection from the podcast and just hanging out, that I just sit down and be like, hey, can I bother you for a second? I'm working on this estimate. Jake, can you help me out? And you were able to give me insights that I wasn't even thinking about.
And that's the beauty of it. And it wouldn't suit you. It wouldn't benefit you to just try to become a jack of all trades in those front end technologies. You know, especially in our world, things move so fast. So,
and it would just be not beneficial to the project if I just assumed I knew what you know and just made a choice without, you know, checking in with you.
Right. Another story, and this is an interdepartment, like with you and me, like in the story you just described, Mike, but I, on the front end team, have been working alongside other front end team members as well as other creative teams within our agency to try to improve the process that happens between design or user experience and development. And it's challenging because our technologies move fast. There are different personalities, there are different minds, there are different projects. Projects differ so much between each other. And so does the timeline. So it's really hard to set up a standard and stick to it. So we find ourselves deviating from the standard, which happens, and that's okay. You need to adapt. But one of the difficulties is that we don't necessarily understand each other's process very well. So I'm really excited because I've been working with one of our new designers who is tasked with trying to understand what we do a little bit better. And we've been collaborating together to figure out what we can do to help educate the designers with front end, what the designers can do to help educate us with their process, and then find some sort of common ground thereafter. And I'm already starting to see the benefits of it. And it's something that we've been kind of striving to do for 5 or 6 years now. So that's one of the beauties of a solid office connection.
And so, I mean, it's taken a while, clearly a number of years to build that up. And that's one of the things I think from your story to highlight, that these office connections aren't just going to materialize overnight. It's something just like working on your skills as a developer. It's something you have to constantly work on, or just like any connection, you constantly have to work on it. And both parties have to work on building it, making it stronger, having that common ground so you can rely on each other.
Yeah, it's certainly not something you can just hit the ground running with day one. So be patient.
And it's interesting that you are doing that with some of our creatives. I've been doing something similar with some of our more account client-facing people in our company who don't necessarily know the technical details of some of the frameworks we use. But I've been sitting down, I call them, well, since it's for the framework that I work in with, which is Drupal. So like we've had Drupal 101 or Drupal 102, and we're going to have Drupal 103 coming up this week, I believe. But it's to give them that baseline understanding of what they need. So we're comfortable enough where we can sit into a room. It's me and I think 2 to 3 other people. And basically it started out with them just asking questions about the technology and me being able to provide them high level answers. And just, they are comfortable enough that they know they can ask any question to me. I don't care how mundane it is. I will do my best to provide an answer that is relevant for their needs when being able to talk to clients or other people in the company even, and have an understanding of what we do. And from that, I get an understanding of what they need and how they use that information.
That's a great example of an office connection. So are these client service?
Yeah, they're client service people. So they work directly with clients. They go to pitches, and they may not have the technical knowledge, and they don't necessarily need it for their roles. But they need enough to be able to talk about it, or be able to know to come to our team and ask questions about it.
That's awesome. Client services is another role in which developers often experience some sort of divide between. And when I say client services, I mean accounts, project management, product management. And what tends to happen is there is often opportunities for breakdowns of communication. And a lot of times that has to do with the technicalities that are being communicated. But I think overall, one role is trying to please the client, and another role is trying to build the project. If you really distill them down, that is kind of what they are. But in the end, they're both working towards the same end goal, just with different roles. So what I'm getting at here is I think that developing a office connection with someone in the client services area as a developer is a really good move that you can make.
And if you are someone who works at a small company with, you know, a very small team, or even by yourself, where you may be wearing that hat, being client facing, but also being a developer, you can work on the same sort of skill sets as you would for building an office connection with someone who is just client facing and not as technical. If you try to think about yourself, splitting yourself into two mindsets, your technical one and your client facing one, and then how would they talk to each other? That helps you build up an internal skill set to be able to talk to your clients without getting uber into the awesome dev details that's going to make their eyes glaze over and not understand that you understand their goals or their endpoints.
That's a really, really good way to look at things, Mike. You want to talk to someone in a way that they can understand you, and you want them to talk to you in a way that you can understand them. So being sensitive and trying to put yourself in their shoes, good move.
I'm going to just say, Jake, that's a good move no matter what your working situation is, the size of your company, from two people to 2,000 people, putting yourself in their shoes and trying to come up with that common ground. You're right. Like you were saying, that is the value of having office connections.
Yeah, super applicable anywhere, really.
Jake, I think this is where we can get into introverts versus extroverts a little bit.
Okay, cool.
Or a little bit more on the surface. And I'm really interested in this because I have a hard time comprehending how you handle these. And we talked a little bit about this, and I think you have a bit of misunderstanding how I might handle these situations. So how can developers go ahead and establish these office connections? Let's start with as an extrovert.
As an extrovert.
Yeah, okay. Let's start with that.
Because that's the one that I'm better at. As an extrovert, taking the first step and owning as much as the initiative as possible, I think is a great way to make office connections as a developer. You want to reach out to team members you've never worked with or you've never talked to and tell them a little bit about how you can help them. And I know that may be a little bit less appealing to an introvert.
Well, what I will say, as the representative for introverts in this conversation, Jake, that I appreciate extroverts taking that initial step because it can be hard for introverts to do that. It can seem overwhelming and frightening sometimes. So having someone take that first step and approach you to build that connection makes it so much easier. So as an introvert, it's important when building office connections to be open to communicating with others. Not that you have to necessarily take the first step if you're not comfortable with it. But if someone approaches you, be open to having a conversation with them or discussing items with them. Don't shy away from it and say, maybe you should talk to somebody else. Like, take ownership, try to have a conversation, and do your best as an introvert and build that connection that way.
So would it be fair to say that it's easier for extroverts to make office connections? Or is that a little bit too much of a blanket statement?
I'm going to say that's too much of a blank statement. I don't think it's necessarily easier for extroverts to make office connections. I think it's easier for extroverts to take the initial step for connection or make a connection with more people at one time.
Okay. So like group setting, for example.
Definitely a group setting. As an introvert, I find it easier in a one-on-one setting to build up a connection with someone. So that could be either in a meeting, just have a quick one-on-one meeting, or talking to someone one-on-one at lunch and starting a conversation that way. As an introvert, it's easier to start conversations, I think, one-on-one than definitely with groups.
What about looking for easier opportunities for office connections? Perhaps someone you've worked with already. Would that be easier for an introvert?
Yeah. So with an introvert, if there's someone you already have a connection with, having them aid you in creating a new connection with somebody else who they are connected with, definitely easier thing to go or with a group. Having someone there that you already know in a group makes it easier, in my opinion, as an introvert, to make connections with others in a group.
Mike, that reminds me, let's take a quick second to distinguish the difference between making an office connection and just having an office connection. Because I think we're talking about benefits of how you can make your team better, how you can better reaffirm your expertise, how you can help other people, how you can allow other people to help you, as opposed to just saying, oh yeah, I sit next to two or three developers, we get along really well. Just right. to clarify,
yeah, there's,
that's
yeah,
what
there's,
we're saying.
Right. There's a difference between just having a connection and making a meaningful office connection that, again, like we said at the beginning, that someone you can lean on and who can lean on you.
Right. Cool. So as far as how to establish connections, I believe it's safe to say that it's the same for an introvert and an extrovert. Like you said, there are nuanced differences, but overall it's the same. The first step to establishing an office connection is to establish a common ground. And then I know we talked about the rule of reciprocity, but just to, that was in, I forget if it was the last episode or the episode before that. Just to recap real quick, the rule of reciprocity is you provide some sort of value. You first, you ask questions, you express interest, you do a favor maybe. And then in doing so, that encourages other people to reciprocate the gesture. So the example that I think we had was, you know, I buy you coffee this time, maybe you buy coffee next time, or maybe you buy me lunch.
Yeah, I remember that. I think it was last episode, maybe. But yeah.
But anyway, if you can, especially going up to someone new at your company, that makes a big difference. Say, hey, you know, I hear your, how's your first week going? Expressing interest. What accounts are you going to be on? Oh, okay, maybe we have a common client. Cool, I actually do a lot of work with that client, or maybe I don't do a lot of work with that client. However, if there's anything that I can do to help you, this is kind of where my expertise lies and would be happy to contribute in any way possible.
That's a great way to start having a common ground with someone, or just start an office connection with someone. I agree with that. What is it? The rule of
reciprocity.
Reciprocity. Man, I'm not going to be able to say that. Rule of reciprocity.
You can say ROAR as an acronym.
As an anagram?
As an anagram.
No, Jake, I think that's a great place to start. Just, I probably agreed with it in last episode as well, because showing that genuine interest in somebody else first, I mean, it really opens them up to having that conversation and building that trust in that communication pathway with you. Whereas if you just go up to someone and just start talking about yourself, why would they care?
Right. Right. You got to give them a reason to be interested.
Exactly.
So, and then that's kind of the first, or those are the first steps to establishing an office connection. Now, whether or not it is going to be a successful or a prosperous or beneficial office connection depends on what you do next. And my recommendation would be to set up a recurring meeting, recurring if possible, or go to coffee, go to lunch, start a conversation, explain how you might be able to help them, see if there are things that you can do to help each other. Kind of capitalize on that common ground and really understand it. And if possible, identify the pain points between your two teams or pain points on your mutual team, or just things that you can do to improve the processes that are already in place.
So Jake, if we think about this as developers, you're setting up a loop for yourself, an endless while loop, let's say, where you're repeating the same thing over and over and over again, time after time. Maybe there's a sleep function in there, so you just don't keep doing it right away. But yeah, you're looping it and it's building up this array. No, it's not an array. I'm going too far with this. You're building up this value is what you're doing. Just like every time the loop goes through, you're adding one to that value.
Right. You could also do like a cron job.
Come on, Jake. I'm trying to... All right. We should work together. We should collaborate on this. All right. Yeah.
No, but for example, like in a real life context, let's say you and I go out to lunch and, you know, we've had pain points between Drupal integrations in the front end. And,
oh, we have.
You know, there's an opinionated style of templating. But in working together, we have found some really, really great efficiencies. And now we're able to work in parallel or completely isolated and still have the project come together pretty seamlessly.
I mean, I think...
leaps and bounds.
Yeah. From just the communication that our teams and the members of our teams have been able to build up in these connections have allowed for that evolution of how we work together in this particular instance of Drupal and templating. I love the system we have. I'm just letting our listeners know, like, the system we've developed, and it's taken years to do. It's amazing to see that transformation. It's all because of these connections where we can share and trust with each other.
It's a very beautiful thing. So chances are anyone that you sit down with in your company, you can find some sort of common ground with, and you could find a way to discuss pain points. You could put potential ideas down on the table, and I'm willing to bet that you can sit down with anyone and you can make something better. So the last part of that, I would say, would be to put a plan in place. If you can identify those pain points or those areas for potential improvement, put a plan in place and take small steps towards that solution. And I really want to underscore small. As we had talked about earlier, Mike, we've been improving processes over the course of the years, but it's really hard to sit down and establish all of these issues and then just say, all right, well, now that we know what the issues are, we can just try to avoid them. It just doesn't work like that.
No, it does not.
Right? So you want to tackle one thing at a time, put a bulletproof process in place for that. You know, going back to episode one, SMART goals, something that is measurable, something that you can actually achieve. All of the SMART anagram things.
Yeah, the smallest action you can take to improve an issue you're having to make that communication, that connection better. And just improve that one tiny piece, then improve the next piece, and improve the next piece.
Right. And then next thing you know, you're going to have a whole new company, and it's going to be awesome.
And you, as a developer, you're going to be able to work on so many amazing things that way. I'll stand by that statement.
All right.
It's a very broad statement. I'll stand by it.
I like it. So what do you think, Mike? Should we wrap this one up?
Let's wrap it up, and then I have a question for our listeners.
Okay.
But let's wrap it up first.
All right, so let's start. Mike, let me ask you, what is an office connection?
An office connection is, it's a two-way road between you and someone you work with, whether it's in your department, in your team, in another department, or even, let's say, with a client. It's building up a method of communicating where you can rely on each other.
Well said. And they're important because you can rely on each other. You can offer support and you can also receive that support. It's a two-way street, and it also is very beneficial for you to establish yourself as an expert in your subject area. And then it also provides opportunities for cross-team collaboration and process improvements. And then Mike, what would you say the best connections to make are as a developer?
The best connections to make, Jake, as a developer is with everybody. I mean, anyone you interact with who is working towards the same goals you are, you should try your best to make a meaningful connection with them.
Absolutely, Mike. I totally agree. Developers, other creatives, and as we mentioned, it's really good to establish good rapport in the client services area to make sure everyone is sharing the same vocabulary and understands the necessary roles and whatnot.
And with that, how do you establish these office connections, Jake?
So the first thing you should do is establish a common ground. And as we wagered a bet, Mike, I'm willing to bet that you could sit down with anyone in this office and you could find some sort of common ground, and you could also identify some pain points or places of improvement. And then you would want to put a plan in place. So set up a reoccurring meeting, identify those things, put a plan in place, and work on one small step at a time. Don't try to identify everything and tackle everything all at once. You want to take baby steps.
Very well put. All right, listeners, here's your challenge. This is episode 16. By the time we put out episode 17, I want you to have established a new office connection with someone you work with who either you have a very light connection with or no connection with currently. See what you can do and the benefits you get from building up that new connection. And we want to hear about it. We'll send out a tweet to ask you if you're working on your connections. So be sure to watch us on Twitter at DevUpPodcast for that tweet, and then send us back information about how it went.
You could also email us at hello@developingup.com or post it on developingup.com/16, which is the landing page for this episode. And yeah, again, we'd love to hear, and we'd also love to share, if that's okay with you guys, share some experiences and give other listeners an insight into how you deal as a developer.
We gain insights from the information you guys provide us, whether we call them out directly or not. It helps, and it's been great. With that, Jake, I think we're done with this episode.
I think so. It was a good one.
So thanks for listening. Until next time.
We'll catch everybody next time.